As we've heard from Jackie Northam, the witnesses who testified as family members of Lee Boyd Malvo's victims were not limited to relations of Linda Franklin, the woman Malvo was convicted of murdering. They included a daughter of Pascal Charlot, who was killed by a sniper's bullet in Washington, D.C., and the widow of Conrad Johnson, who was shot to death in Aspen Hill, Maryland. How is it that crimes for which a defendant has not been convicted can be invoked in the sentencing phase of a murder trial? Steve Benjamin is a criminal defense lawyer in Richmond, Virginia, and he's going to help explain this to us. Mr. Benjamin, first of all, this has to do with a ruling made by the trial judge in the Malvo case. What did she decide?
The trial judge ruled that the prosecutors would be permitted to introduce victim impact testimony, testimony not just from the survivors of Linda Franklin or Dean Myers, but survivors of other murders.
Now, the judge explained her reasoning a bit today in court. She said that one of the counts that Lee Boyd Malvo was convicted of was terrorism, and that the terrorism element means that there were a lot of shootings over a certain space of time over a large geographical area. Therefore, one could hear from the relatives of other victims. But those are victims for whom there never was actually a trial over those murders.
That's correct. And I think that she's making a distinction that really doesn't exist. I understand her reasoning, but I think it's a false distinction. I, quite frankly, do not think that it will hold up.
You assume that this will be the basis for an appeal?
Oh, sure. If a death sentence is returned, this will be a very substantial basis for an appeal. Up until 1991, victim impact testimony was not permitted in capital trials. The United States Supreme Court held, though, in the early 90s, that it was appropriate for juries to consider the specific harm that was caused by the crime in question. Now, therein is the point to be made here. The Supreme Court talked about the crime in question. That would be the capital murder that has been charged. The idea of criminal punishment is that it is related to the crime for which somebody goes on trial and is convicted. The effect of the judge's ruling is that Malvo is going to be punished and possibly sentenced to death as a part of the punishment extending to other murders for which he has not been tried. And interestingly enough, murders which were committed in Maryland, for example, another state that does not permit the death penalty for juveniles.
Now, you're speaking as a defense lawyer, and the way you see it, this is an example of why the case is being brought in Virginia, or why Malvo is at greater risk for the death penalty. Is what's happening completely out of bounds with what typically happens at this phase of a trial, or in lower-profile murder cases, might we see victim impact statements from people who claim they were victimized in one way or another by that person you just convicted, even if that event has not been the subject of a criminal trial?
Oh, certainly. It is very common to have unadjudicated acts of criminal conduct introduced during the sentencing phase. But here we're not talking simply about unadjudicated acts of other criminal conduct. We're talking about victim impact. And the law in Virginia is very specific as to the nature of victim impact testimony. Do you see what I mean? It would be one thing to introduce evidence that Malvo participated in other murders, but it's quite another thing to introduce victim impact testimony concerning those murders. That is raw emotion. That is precisely the sort of testimony that the prosecution knows is likely to return a death sentence.
Well, Mr. Benjamin, we'll see actually what the jury does when it comes to deciding a penalty, and then if indeed it is imposed, we'll see if these arguments do arise on appeal. Thank you very much for talking with us about it.
My pleasure.
Steve Benjamin, who is a criminal defense lawyer in Richmond, Virginia.